Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today, we're going to talk about how to grow an organic garden. I'm going to give you a little bit of tips on seeds, soil, and composting. A little bit of companion planting also. My name is Marina Lieros Naples, and welcome to my show, the Meeting Ike Series Show. This is a 15-minute lunch break show that I offer on Tuesdays and Thursdays every other week. Alternate weeks, I have a special guest on Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock p.m., and the times are all Eastern time. So grab your lunch, your sandwich, your soup, whatever you have for today, and let's get started. You know, prices are skyrocketing, and it's getting more expensive to put food on the table, which means it takes money away from other living costs, other bills that you could pay, other things that you need to buy. Here is one way you can stretch that dollar further. Plus, you know where the food came from and how well it was cared for while it was being grown and harvested. Living more holistically does not need to be complicated. You can start by growing some of your own fresh vegetables and herbs. Learn a bit about what makes healthy growing and a healthy growing environment, and I'll share a bit about the companion planting that I just mentioned, which simply means some plants grow better when they're next to or intermingled with some, certain plants, and yet other plants that are planted near them could stunt their growth or cause an unhealthy plant. And I'm looking right now at my potted growing collard greens. We're down in Florida at our winter home. It's a condo community. And so I could only have potted plants right outside of my doorway up against the one wall. And I'm sitting here looking, and I just brought them in because they were growing, and they were growing very nicely, and they were sitting next to, and it should not have been a problem, but there were some other things that were next to also. And my my plant here, there's a few of them in the pot, are being devoured, eaten alive by some type of insects or something. So I brought it inside to protect it, to help protect it, and to figure out what to do with them. And there are plants that when they are companion planted together, one will repel things like aphids and certain worms and beetles and things like that. So it really pays to be able to do a little bit of homework to find out about what you're going to be able to plant next to for more success. Now, let's get started on seeds and the soil and the composting. Those are really fundamentals to what your garden is going to ultimately be. Seeds, you're going to want to get heirloom or organic seeds. Those GMO seeds, the regular ones you see out on the shelves or in the standing racks that don't state that they're heirloom or organic, you're going to want to pass those by. I know they're cheaper, but you're going to want to pass them by. And the reason for that is GMO seeds, genetically modified foods is what these are, and they've taken the seeds from that and somehow they've manipulated those seeds to be able to grow for you. But once you grow the plants and you try and harvest those seeds for next year's garden, next year's crop, they don't grow. And they've genetically modified them, so we really don't know what's happened, what they've done to it for all the healthy attributes that it could possibly have given you if it was still in its natural, unaltered state. There are people who have allergies. Now, what they've done to tomatoes, for instance, they've taken a fish gene and some of the DNA, and they've introduced it into the tomato plants, the tomato plants themselves. So now what does this do to somebody who has a fish allergy? You know, people who didn't used to, and I know a few of them, people who didn't used to react to tomatoes now are reacting. Is it because it's a nightshade or because the fish DNA is now inside of the tomato? And other plants too, other vegetables and fruits that we eat, they've done the same thing too. So what is it that we're really reacting to? Just like wheat, is it the gluten that is inside with the wheat that's causing a problem, or is it the glyphosate that they spray all over the crops to make them die out so it's easier to harvest and you're saturated with this glyphosate, which we already know causes problems along with cancer. So when you have your own garden and you get your organic or heirloom seeds, this is going to be a much healthier way, the way that it's supposed to be for our bodies to be able to read and decipher and utilize all the healthy nutrients that that plant is going to offer, was made to offer. And the soil, that's another one. The soil, you want to make sure that it wasn't contaminated with anything before then. What was sprayed on it? Do your neighbors spray? You know, how long have you had that property and what was it used for before that? Do you have farms nearby that do spray? So you're going to want to go ahead and choose your area that you're putting your garden in wisely on that. So you want to know something about your soil. And, you know, you can go ahead and get some new topsoil or be able to put in some compost with that. I started a compost pile years ago at my home. And so I feed that into my soil along with the leaves from autumn when raking up the leaves and the ash from our fire pit, adding minerals back into the soil. So we want to do that because those plants are going to be taking up in the water. The water is the avenue of the minerals to be able to taking into the plant and giving it the health and everything that it needs to grow properly. So back to the soil, you know, people put manure on their plants, I mean, on their garden area. I don't use the manure. You know, there's just, how many times do we see they're pulling spinach off of the shelves, they're pulling cantaloupes off of the shelves and other fresh vegetables and fruits because of E. coli contamination. You know, do they say, and I've heard it said that it's because of workers and they don't have clean sanitary conditions out there, an outhouse, no running water, wash your hands. That could be part of it. But when it's so widespread, I have to think that it goes back to also any type of manure that might be used and has that contaminated it. When I bring home cantaloupes, watermelons, anything like that, anything that can be washed, I wash it with hot soapy water and a sponge. I'll scrub it off. Cucumbers, the same thing. I'll run my lettuce under hot water and to kill anything, the spinach too, and then I give it the cold blast to bring it back and put it in the refrigerator for that meal for that day. So, you know, you have to be careful and know where your manure, how old, how processed it is, what they've done to it to be able that kills off any of the bad stuff of the E. coli. But if it's killing off on any processing they're using for that, have they killed off the good stuff too? So that's just something to keep in mind and find out about before you use it. Composting. Like I said, I have my own compost pile that I have at home, and I started that with the dirt in the backyard. I know that the soil was fine, and I add in the kitchen scraps of vegetables and fruits, the coffee grounds and eggshells and things like that, and I have a bucket that I keep on in the kitchen, a smaller bucket, and I'll put that in there with the lid on it and banana peels, all of those things go inside of this container, and I'll take them out over to the compost pile, put it there, you know, the leaves, the dirt, the, like I said, the ash from the fire pit, and you mix that over and together. What I do is I rotate, and I have in the one area toward the back is I'll put the newest scraps and everything. So what's in front of me is the older that decomposed. And it's very interesting about creating a compost pile. At first, I mean, you smell the you know, what you considered garbage, the scraps and everything, and it smells like it's rotting a bit. But after it has finally done its thing of degrading down and becoming this rich peat soil for you, there's actually this kind of like a sweet smell, and it's very healthy. And you can definitely tell a difference. I put that on my garden, and within a week, all of a sudden, my plants have doubled. But you want to rotate it. It takes a couple of years, 2 to 3 years, before, you know, for your compost pile to really come into its own. I have accidentally taken some of the compost that wasn't ready, put in the garden, and I have sprouting up areas where I know I didn't plant those seeds of tomatoes and peppers and other things because those seeds had not deteriorated enough. That compost wasn't ready. So, and then here it is with me. I can't necessarily kill it. So what I do is I'll plant them. I'll put them in pots. I take them to friends' houses, and I say, here, have some plants. So for your garden. But composting is a natural way, a very healthy way, inexpensive way to be able to use stuff that you already have to create this rich nutrient fertilizer for your garden and plants. Companion planting, that's another one. It's just a wonderful thing to be able to have a good healthy garden. You don't want to put hot foods near cool foods, like a cucumber near your hot peppers. You can put things like basil is said to improve the flavor of lettuce, and it also helps to repel mosquitoes. Beets, when they're the minerals they supply to the soil, helps lettuce grow. So when you have things that are growing up into the air, you can also have things that grow underneath into the soil. So you're utilizing that space even better, you know, with when you have carrots and you have lettuce, and so underground and above ground. Chives and garlic, they deter aphids, you know, so your tomato plants don't become overrun with the aphids. So that's another thing to keep in mind as well. The three sisters, companion planting, many people know about this. The three sisters, a Native American approach, planting corns, beans, and squash together. The squash leaves act as a cover for the soil and a pest deterrent. The beans provide soil with nitrogen, and which also helps the corn grow. So finding about the companion planting is really a great way to go before you start your wonderful organic garden using your organic or heirloom seeds. My next show is coming up on Thursday, and this is going to be a peek into the studies and results from the experiments from the Secret Life of Plants book. And I've mentioned this book a few times in a few different shows. And these are experiments that were done decades ago, and they have found that plants have consciousness. They feel emotions, and they react, and they actually connect with the people that are in their lives. We unfortunately haven't been doing that, and so we really need to be able to get back in touch with that. And to give you a little peek into that, you can go ahead and listen to my show from April 8th called What Are the Reasons Prayer is Used Before Meals? So that's a good one before this coming Thursday's show. If you haven't listened to some of the other shows that I've had, I really do recommend you listen to the one back on the date of March 9th so you can get to know a little bit about me and my background and what I teach. There are other shows that I had started. It's a four-part Psychic and Spiritual Children in Today's World. There are four parts, four different dates, and that one began on February. So go ahead and take a listen to these other shows. And also remember that I have got an OutSchool that I teach classes on there. And one of the classes is about what's in your yard, you know, herbs, weeds. So I teach students about the naturally and wildly growing plants that are in their yard, in roadside fields, and other areas that have a lot of dense nutrition. And so that's a really good class to be able to have kids or grandchildren take. The class after that is once a week for 4 weeks, planting seeds for an outdoor summer garden. And so I teach kids ages 11 to 15, and we do it together. We plant seeds, germinate, and we watch them grow during the 4 weeks. And I teach them about plants and about transplanting them into the ground or outdoor pots. And they learn about healthy soil, composting, companion planting, and more. So you can go to outschool.com and under my name, Marina Naples, to be able to find this class. You can find me on Facebook and also on my website, which is meeting-ike-series.weebly.com, to find out more about what I offer. My name is Marina Lieros Naples. Thank you for joining me for this quick 15-minute lunch break show, and I will connect with you on Thursday when we discuss the book about the secret life of plants. Thanks for tuning in.